Well, I just felt to share a little bit, not very long, but about a theme that I think is a particularly nice one, particularly in the midst of all the horrors going on all over the world and all the problems. We have always, whether good or ill situation going on in the world anyway, to fix our eyes on Yeshua. So this is our complete, if you like, we are fixing our eyes on Yeshua and not taking our eyes off him in the spirit as the Lord enables us. And the theme that I wanted to look at a little bit this morning is one of inheritance, inheritances. Now, I don't know whether you're like me, but I really like the idea of inheritance. To inherit things seems to me to be a really, really wonderful way of living. Laurie and I were blessed. On one side of our family, my grandfather who fled from Poland. He managed to make it to Azerbaijan and then ended up in the UK. And he did very well for himself. He worked really, really hard, had a little business, and then he passed something down to my mum, and then my mum was able to pass it on to us, and because we didn't have a pension or anything, so that we've kind of lived off that. So we're really, really thankful for that, and the fact that it's come down from my grandfather somehow gives it an extra a sense of there's something there that means more to me because it's come from my grandfather. So the idea of having an inheritance is one that is, I feel, very attractive. Because if you have an inheritance, or if you know you're going to have an inheritance, you live in a kind of different way. If you were, I don't know, you were growing up and you were a little Lord Fauntleroy, and you knew you were to inherit this castle and a vast amount of land, and you have servants under you, you would feel differently about life. You would have a sense of security. You know you're going to inherit. You know it's all going to come to you. It may not come to you while you're a little nipper, but it's going to come to you eventually. And you would live in the good of this inheritance. And this is actually how God wants us to live, believe it or not. The scripture talks much about the kingdom of God and inheritances. And of course, the inheritance for us is the gift of eternal life in his presence and in his kingdom. So it's a very actual, real thing, but it is something which we are to inherit by the grace of God and by the mercy of God. It's something way beyond our comprehension in its beauty and in its wonder. We can't even get our brain around it, but it's presented to us as a very, very real thing which God has given to us, is giving to us, and will give to us. Now, as in most things of the new covenant, we see the old covenant has a framework for this hope of the coming kingdom and the whole notion of inheritance. You'll know that all the 12 tribes, as they face this great battle, many, many battles with all the inhabitants of the land, and when Moses said to the people and to Joshua, "You're going to go into the land, you're going to possess the land, and God is going to give to you an inheritance. That land is going to be your inheritance." So the whole concept of inheritance is deeply embedded in Old Testament typology. And each of the tribes had a specific inheritance. Levi, of course, their inheritance was different, being the priesthood, and all the others had different lands. But it was the whole idea was one that they were going to inherit lands. It would never be taken away from them. They might lose it. But then at the year of Jubilee, it would all come back to them. So it was a covenant of giving, and it was an inheritance from the Lord. The only way they could lose that inheritance was by gross disobedience. And of course, we know that that happened. But even still, God's grace was overriding, even above that. And we know that after the worst forms of disobedience, God has brought his people back to his land, to their inheritance. So the whole concept of inheritance is deeply ingrained in scripture, and it's also to be ingrained in us. We are to live in the sense that we are expecting an inheritance. We have been chosen that we might have this wonderful inheritance. And there's a very clear principle here, because God, as a true father, wants to pass things on to his children. Now, most of us have got children, even though sometimes they're a bit wayward at times, we still want to pass an inheritance on to them. It's a natural given for us that we want to pass on our inherit what the little that we have to our children. Jenny prayed at the beginning that everything belongs to God. God has everything. He owns everything. God owns all of creation, belongs to him. God is a father, and he wants to pass on that which he has to us as an inheritance. That's an incredible thought. We are, if I am his child, if you are his child, he wants to give you an inheritance as much as you want to give an inheritance to your children. How much more will God give to his children? I think that's a really wonderful, wonderful thought for us to contemplate and to try to live in the good of it. And that's clearly what the apostles wanted. We find in different scriptures, 1 Peter 1, verse 3, Hebrews 9, verse 13, Ephesians 1, verse 11, all talk about the inheritance that we have received. 1 Peter talks about that we have received an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, doesn't fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Hebrews 9, that we may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Ephesians 1, interestingly, says we have obtained an inheritance. So there's kind of a mystery. We have the inheritance, but it's a future inheritance as well as a present inheritance, but we only have it in part. And we have it fully to come. So it's a dual, and it's a mystery, really. And very wonderful that is, too. Of course, when in the new covenant, when Jesus, when the Messiah came and then achieved his wonderful victory, the whole concept of inheritance moved into a new dimension, into a new heavenly brilliance. And so we have the Lord Yeshua in John 14 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." Luke 12, verse 32, "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. So all of these things, the Lord was saying the same thing to us. We are going to receive this inheritance. And if we live in the knowledge of it and in faith and in trust in it, our whole lives will be different. They will be built on a much more solid foundation. I'm sure that when William and Harry were growing up, knowing that they would inherit Buckingham Palace and other things, although Harry's made a mess, we know. But I can imagine how they, well, actually, it's hard to imagine what they must have felt like growing up with that kind of level of inheritance and how the knowledge of it affected how they would live. And we are to live in the same way. We talked about it a little bit before. We are not alone. Not only are we not alone, but we are to inherit all things through the Father's good pleasure. And so it's to come. We don't have it all now, but it has been promised to us by the one who cannot lie. And so that's pretty sure, a pretty sure foundation. And it's also a very nice thought, especially if you're struggling and you've not got very much, or things are very difficult, you're getting old and things are happening, and you're spending most of the time in the doctors. It's good to know that, well, my inheritance is coming. I'm sure, like many of you, where the age, we've had quite a few brothers and sisters whom we love gone to be with the Lord and to their heavenly glory. And the knowledge that they are to receive their inheritance in the fullness of what that is, and of course, in Revelation, it's all described at the end of Revelation in kind of vivid technicolor. And that's just a brief glimpse of what it all is. I want to live in the foreknowledge that I am to receive that kind of inheritance, and I will live in a different way. If you're going to receive an inheritance because you're a child of the Father, by very definition, you will live, you will think of yourself in a different way. You will live in a different way. Your whole way of viewing the world will be seen in a different way. So that's actually really good news and a really lovely thing to think about. But I'm just going to finish by reading from 1 Corinthians 15, because although we have this wonderful inheritance given to us, of course, flesh and blood cannot fully inherit it. And that's Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians. They're looking at these things. He teaches and shows the disciples that, as wonderful as it is, it can only be fully realized in the future. So we'll read from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 46 to 57. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterwards the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust, Adam. The second man is the Lord from heaven, Jesus. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly, those who have been born from the heavenly man. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we must also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now, this I say, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the Torah, the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus, our Messiah. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So there's a wonderful teachings of Paul, trying to help them to understand that we have this inheritance, we have this promise, but because we're flesh and blood, and because we're very corruptible in every way, that cannot inherit it fully. It can only happen when the spiritual takes over from the physical and we're released into the fullness of the kingdom of God. So we have all this to come, brothers and sisters. This is God's will for us. Therefore, let us be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let's have a brief word of prayer together, and I'll hand it back to Jenny. Lord, we thank you for your unbelievable, incredibly wonderful plans for us. Lord, we believe in your eternal plans and purposes for all creation. Father, we thank you that by your mercy and by your grace, you've called us. You've caused us to be born again to a living hope, taken us out of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of your beloved Son. Father, we just worship you and praise you with every fiber of our being. And we thank you because you are the creator. So you have ordained for us that we might obtain an inheritance from you, the creator of all. As our true father, you want to give us what is yours. And we worship and praise you for the joy and for the bliss that we will know when we are united fully with you. So, Lord, help us, help me, Lord, help us to live in the good of these wonderful truths. Help us to live in it, Lord. I don't want to just read about it. I don't want to talk about it. I want to live in it in the Spirit. So help us, we pray, to live in the Spirit, that our lives radiate something of your glory, of your joy, and of your love, and most importantly, of your love. We ask these things in Yeshua's wonderful name. Amen.
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 Well,